into a couple of copyright organisations, the Copyright Council and the Copyright Licensing Limited, but I speak here as a freelance journalist only. I'd like to suggest that one possible solution for the future might actually be found by delving into the past. Little known or forgotten actions of 13 years ago have huge ramifications for journalists now. They could and should be reversed. Back in 1994, a narrow parliamentary vote abolished staff journalists' ownership of the residual rights they owned in their stories that were published in New Zealand newspapers and magazines under the then 1962 Copyright Act. Can I take this stuff seriously? Staff in the print industry lost their rights to decide about the copying of their work, publishing it online, and all other residual rights that they had to that point owned. The ownership of these rights were transferred by the then government to publishers. Now, why is this important? It might seem to many of you like ancient history. Because rights mean real money. At the heart of all transactions between journalists and employers is the sale of copyright in return for payment and benefits. Print has a different set of rules to broadcasting, but the issue around copyright is still as crucial for broadcasters as well as for print. This loss of those residual rights for staff journalists in 1994, and hence years of income, has ramifications for the New Zealand media as a whole. Few journalists can afford to remain journalists in the long term because the pay here is so poor. And so the media industry is packed to the gallows with junior reporters. Not that they don't do a good job, but as Judy said the other day, you need junior and senior, you need a spread of experience and age and gender and all that diversity. And the PR industry, staffed by many of our former colleagues, can outpace and outmaneuver the media on a daily basis. Not a good thing for those who believe a robust media is crucial to a democratic society. By contrast, in Australia, journalists have retained more of their rights, and in particular, which I'm sort of focusing on here, their reprographic rights. That's the right to decide who can photocopy your work or who can copy your work. You can also, obviously digitally copy work. And they get very well paid for that right. In 1994, the year Parliament legislated away New Zealand staff journalists' residual rights, Copyright Australia Limited distributed $10.5 million to journalists, authors and publishers. In their last financial report, they distributed $66 million, and each year they expect it to climb to $100 million. So a tenfold increase in the 13 years since our rights were taken by Parliament. And this that money in Australia goes in part to working journalists, it also goes to book authors and book publishers. But individual payments, the head of Copyright Australia Limited told me earlier this year, can reach tens of thousands of dollars for individual journalists. And, you know, the Aussies earn money from copying done overseas as well. So when Fairfax bought INL, Fairfax journalists in Australia could look forward to factor rights checks because their work was being copied here. I think it's not inconsequential that in Australia, at least in the time I lived there, and I imagine probably still, there are many senior journalists who can afford to stay in the profession. The New Zealand publishers 13 years ago had various rather spurious reasons for why the law should be changed. Our law was different from that in the UK and Australia, and other laws aren't. The split was unworkable, and it works fine in Australia. Journalists hadn't exercised the right in the past, and so therefore they didn't deserve it. But neither had publishers exploited those reprographic rights to any great extent at that stage, and it took them until 2002 to actually get organised about it. I don't think in 1994 they were even thinking about sort of the implications for online rights then, but obviously this is another thing that has happened in the wake of this change, that there's been no bargaining in New Zealand about payment for online rights. They even argued, and this was from INL's submission, that a change in the law could, and I quote, lead to the employment of more journalists in New Zealand. But as the Department of Justice overview pointed out, the publishers, despite arguing for the Select Committee that they really, really wanted the rights and they really, really needed them, they had never tried to negotiate with employees about this. And as the Department of Justice, I'm not sure if it's Department or Ministry then, but as the Department put it then, and I quote, it seems that publishers do not want to pay for the rights that their employees currently own. Nope, they lobbied instead for Parliament to confiscate those rights. And so staff journalists have missed missed out on years of income and the chance to negotiate payment for such rights as online rights. Freelance journalists are even more fundamentally affected by the issue of rights because we do not have the backstop of a regular wage. Rights are all we have to bargain with. Freelancers, and many of us will be freelancers at some stage in our careers, fight this battle daily over rights. Freelance journalists still retain all their rights legally, but they are often asked to work for hire, so that means to sort of basically give up your rights and accept a contract that is akin to an employee's contract, but it's usually for derisory payment, and you've heard about what that's like. APN, TVNZ, Radio New Zealand, Fairfax on Australia, and perhaps eventually here, all have clauses and contracts about rights that have been drawn up by lawyers who probably think we should all throw in our firstborn children as well. Sharon, I'd say watch out. Even when it's acknowledged by publishers that they owe journalists money, it's still pretty hard to get it out of them. New Zealand's Print Media Copyright Agency was set up in 2002 to collect monies for the copying of New Zealand articles. And the PMCA acknowledges it has so-called special contributors, that's freelancers who still retain ownership of their copyright. And freelancers are owed, and it acknowledges that freelancers are owed their share of the returns, a slice of a pie that must be worth at least a few million or so. Where does it all go? Well, of course, it doesn't go to staff journalists, and not one cent that I know of has ever been given to a freelancer in the past 5 years. Although Lincoln Gould and I have been talking about how that could possibly be remedied, and a star has been the support the PMCA has given the National Freelancers Conference. But it's not okay that these payments to the rights holders, freelancers, have been an afterthought, a clause in a licensing scheme that no one actually asked freelancers about. It's not okay that draconian contracts are drawn up, the aim of which is to screw every last right out of freelance journalists while paying a paltry 40 cents a word. And it's not okay that staff journalists too have been denuded of their rights. I think the swinging thing, and Tony Wilson will be able to tell me here, was sort of lunch for one particular MP. That swung the vote. Back in 1994, now ministers Rick Barker and Judith Tizard, who were then opposition MPs, were vocal in their opposition to this change to the Copyright Act. Rick Barker said he, I quote, did not believe this Parliament should expropriate an existing right that belongs to someone else. There was no good reason given for changing that existing right other than someone wanted it and it looked nice and neat and orderly. I am not persuaded by that. Judith Tizard said, if New Zealand wants a creative and satisfying future, and a future wherein the energies and intellect of our people will be used, we will have to make sure those people are paid for their efforts rather than being ripped off, as many of them have been in the past. Is it too late to reclaim these rights? I don't think so. In the modern media landscape, who owns what is more important than ever. And this is an area where freelance journalists and staff journalists can and should work together. For 13 years, New Zealand journalists, as Judith Tizard puts it, have been ripped off. I think that's long enough. I think it's time to think about righting this wrong.